This is Larry Reedy. Welcome to my podcast for the first time or for my returning listeners. Today I have a guest, Matthew Fullenkamp. He's a small business owner, owns the Village Store in Oldenburg, Indiana. And welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Hello. Nice to meet you again.
Yes.
I know I've known you for a very long time, but I'm glad to be here to do this with you.
Well, thanks. Let's start. You were born in Batesville, right?
Yep.
Okay. And went to school?
High school, middle school, all throughout.
All through. Okay. Yep. When you were in grade school, any thoughts on what you wanted to do in life?
At a young age, I always thought about being a pilot, but after that, just whatever.
Yeah. But, well, I wanted to be a pro baseball player, but that didn't work out either. How about high school?
High school, I kind of was more in the, like, business end of things, but I always had an open mind and ended up going to college, and it just didn't work out, but...
Yeah. Well, you know... In today's environment, I mean, there's kids going to college and they're spending, you know, $30,000-$40,000 a year. They get an education on things that aren't very popular and have a hard time with the student debt. They don't get a good job. And, I hit on a friend of mine who has another podcast, and he actually is a manager for a construction company, and he starts, if a young guy out of high school goes to him and has never even driven a nail, he'll pay him $18 to $20 an hour to start and, you know, learn on the job. So, and there's kids out of college that aren't making $18 to $20 an hour. So, and what was your first job then when you left college?
I actually started at the Village Store. I was in the meat department, just kind of working part-time. And I also did landscaping part-time kind of at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed both of them a lot. And I kind of did that for probably 3 or 4 years.
When you were at the Village Store, did you start out in the meat department?
Yeah.
Okay, so on the job training, basically.
Yeah, that's how I learn best, is on the job, doing things, watching. I'm not a book person, so
yes,
doing things helps me learn better.
Okay, so after your stint at the Village Store, what came next?
I actually did landscaping for like 2 or 3 years. I really enjoyed it. It was just seasonal work. I still worked at the store in the wintertime.
Okay.
But it kind of got to a point where I needed something more stable, and the opportunity came back to go to the store. So I went back there full time, and here I am.
Okay. So how many years ago was that?
It was 2015 when I went back full time.
Okay.
So...
But so you went full-time right into the meat department.
Yep.
Okay. And at the time, were you married at that time? Or
at that time, I got married in October of that year.
Of that year? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was probably about a month or so after when I went back.
Okay. Your former boss, the former owner... he had the store for how many years?
I think he owned it for 28 or 29 years, wow. Something like that. He was there 49 years total.
So, really?
Yeah, he did his time. He definitely built that business up to what it is now.
Wow, wow. So have you talked to him since?
About every day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he still comes in, checks up on us.
Well, that's great.
And he's got property out by my house, so I always see him.
Okay. But
he's a great guy.
Yeah, well, I know. And how old is he now?
60-something. Yeah. Oh, I don't ask.
Yeah. So, well, when you when you start now, is your wife involved in the store also? Or?
She has her own full-time job. She does a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. She's very helpful with certain tax stuff. Like all, she has the background in that.
Oh, okay. And
she does that kind of stuff. And then her daughter, which is my stepdaughter, Kelsey, she does all the upfront stuff.
Okay.
Book work, ad planning, all the other stuff. I try to stay in the meat department where I'm best.
Yeah. Well, are you having any health problems getting help? I know most of the people that I see over there have been there for a number of years.
We aren't. I mean, our employees are the backbone of the store. They make us go around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, without them, we wouldn't be where we are. Yeah. I mean,
well, and the place is always clean, always friendly. I mean, you got a great crew. Now, and I know you provide, I know the Brawl House, but do you provide the other restaurants with the fresh ground chuck every day? Or
The Pearl Street Pub gets a lot of stuff from us. Wagner's, not really.
Yeah.
But there's Little Charlie's in Batesville. They get tenderloins, Fireside.
Oh, okay.
Midtown Diner gets stuff from us.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
So when, and there's how many guys in the meat department now?
There's Scott, Leonard, Daniel, myself, and then we got two other part-time guys that are awesome. I mean,
and I haven't noticed, but now some of the guys working, do they come in? Do you make sandwiches at lunch or anything
like
that?
Oh, yeah. We have a big sandwich crowd that comes in.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, the thing is, I never eat at fast food places, but I imagine it's a lot cheaper to get a nice sandwich than getting a Big Mac or something like that and standing in line forever.
Oh, yeah. We make a nice, healthy sandwich.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
only $4 or $5 at the most.
Oh, wow.
So, wow. Yeah.
So, and what's your hours over there?
Sunday, we're only open 8 to 6, close early. But then the rest of the days, we're open 7 to 7. Plus, it's a holiday. We close early or we're closed altogether.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what, Thanksgiving, Christmas, those 2 days?
New Year's and Easter.
And Easter, yeah, 4 days. Well, you know, and you have to have time. Like, do you balance your time real well with work and family as far as, are you getting enough time off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do have a very big passion for the store. But I also have a passion for family time,
mm-hmm.
so I make sure I get that time out.
Okay.
I mean,
and you know, it's to me, it's amazing. Like you say, your predecessor, 49 years there, but you've got really heavy competition. You got Kroger, about 2 miles away.
Yeah.
You got Walmart up in Greensburg, and then you've got Langens in Batesville. And I just think it's amazing because, you know, besides the store being exceptionally clean and good help, you got a tremendous meat counter. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's and what is the secret? I know you're active, and talk about some of the community activities that you do over there.
A lot of the stuff we do, like we'll have grill outs on like our first Friday sales. They're like the Oldenburg Knights, Oldenburg Academy, any places like that. That we allow them to grill out, do fundraisers so they can raise money. We donate a lot back to the community, especially the church, the academy, Batesville High School, whatever. Just try to stay active doing that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, this is being recorded, obviously, and it's going to be airing Thanksgiving week. So right now, just tell us about your last First Friday sale, because I think it's incredible. Like, you know, I think you had the top sirloin and ribeye. Was that the big ones?
The top sirloin and the New York strips.
New York strips. Yeah. Tell us about that and how you could buy a whole ribeye or a whole strip and a whole top sirloin. You cut it to order, and the price. Now, this in this changing world, again, this will be aired the 21st of November, and we're looking at today's the 18th of October. So it doesn't mean that it's going to be the same when this is aired, but tell us about the last prices you had.
The top sirloins we ran for $5.98 for like a whole piece. The New York strips were $8.98. We basically just, it's something to give customers a really good deal. You get a lot of meat, cheap price, you fill your freezer. That's one of the biggest things I try to promote. A lot of people don't have the room for a whole side of beef, so we try to give them these options. That way they can get certain things they want at a great value. Yeah. I mean,
well, I think it's great because, though, actually, you know, I picked up a top sirloin and had picked up two of them, and I had one made into 1 pound packs of ground beef because I think Kroger ground chuck $6 or $7 a pound, something like that. And I'd sure rather have a hamburger with top sirloin.
Yeah.
And the other one we made into cube sticks, you know, 2 to a pack. So fortunately, I've got a big freezer.
Yeah.
and then you also have weekly sales, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
We just try to find a few different items every week just to kind of highlight, get people in the store. I mean, some things we run dirt cheap, lose money on, but it gets people in there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we want. We want people to see our meat case, our clean store.
Yeah.
All of our friendly, smiling faces, and yeah.
I mean, how long is the meat case? Have you ever?
I should know that, but I don't even know.
I mean, it goes from one side of the store to the
other. Yeah.
So, and I presume, are you having any problem with, like, with chicken wings? And I know they've gone up something.
They did, but they've finally been coming back down.
Really?
So everything just kind of runs its cycle, and it'll go up, and it comes down. Hopefully it stays down.
And what do you, I mean, should people make alternate plans for turkeys or buy them early? Or?
I don't necessarily think they need to. I think it's going to be a tight market. The price is definitely up. I know that for sure. Yeah. I haven't even got a firm quote on anything.
Yeah.
But it's,
it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing we can do about it.
Well, how about the alternative? You know, some people buy a ham. Are the pork prices good? Ham prices decent?
The ham prices have actually been up, which is kind of weird. A lot of the, like, delicacies, as I call it, like your baby back ribs, mm-hmm. they're higher. Your bacon's always been higher. And then, like, the hams. But the rest of the pork market's been very cheap, really.
Yeah.
But the hams, for some reason, just haven't come down. But,
well, you know, I picked up some of your bacon, which is great. And I think it was, what, $3.99 a pound?
Yeah.
And I after we brought it home, I told Nancy, I said, you know, boy, that bacon is really good. And I said, I don't know what other stores are charging, but just for the heck of it, I went to Costco.com, $7 a pound.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, there's no way I'd ever pay $7 a pound for bacon.
Yeah, some of the pre-pack stuff that we could buy in is like $8-$9 a pack.
Oh.
When you can have the good platter style stuff that we have,
oh.
you don't want anything else anyway.
No, no, it's just, I mean, the flavor and you know, I my initial thought was $3.99 a pound. I thought, man, I bet there's a lot of fat. No, it's just perfect. I mean, and great flavor, and Nancy's not a big bacon eater, but she loved it. She'd rather have Getta or a piece of ham or mm-hmm. something, but she really ate the bacon. Let's take a little break for a minute, and I need a drink of water, and we'll gather our thoughts and go on. So be right back. Okay, we're back now, and Matt, do you do a lot of social media, and you have a website?
We do have a Facebook account. We post our weekly ad, all new items that we get in, and just random things to promote stuff around town. We also have a link on there to a website for people that also want to go see a digital ad, the whole thing. It's a great marketing tool.
Mm-hmm.
Can reach a lot of people. We also, when we have our first Friday sales, we do print out a flyer. A lot of people still like having that piece of paper in their hands.
Yeah.
But sometimes we'll do radio ads. But the biggest thing is through Facebook.
Does the radio ads work for you?
I don't necessarily think so. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to promote and yeah. people hear it. But I think our main draw is through Facebook, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, years ago, I used to advertise on the local radio station. And the problem is, like, when I had the tire store, local people, it seemed like the only ones that were listening to the radio were the people that were running ads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure the farmers got up in the morning, listened to the weather. Now, but now, with this, the internet is just so important to everybody's lives. Everybody's got a smartphone, and you want to know the weather, or you have a Echo from Amazon, and you say, "What's the weather today, Alexa?" And they tell you that you want it for 10 days. And I often wondered about the radio, and I think it's great that we have a hometown radio.
Oh, yeah.
But I also wondered, like, sometimes I think WRBI, I always check the bits on the internet on WRBI, but I can't remember the last time I listened to it.
And we listen to it at work. I listen to it in the truck.
Do you?
Yeah. But as far as advertising with it, I feel like the people listening to it are the ones that already are going to come in the store. They're already going here. They're already going there.
Yeah.
It's just kind of an afterthought.
Yeah. And it's it seems like radio and magazines are incredibly expensive to advertise in.
Mm-hmm.
And the billboards, I don't know about them either. There's so many of them on the interstate. You just go by, and I don't know if anybody even looks at them anymore.
Yeah, some of them are catchy, but 5 miles down the road, you just forget about it anyway.
Well, when we were traveling, we always looked for a Cracker Barrel billboard
mm-hmm.
because going to Florida, a lot. We'd travel sometimes at night, and with the kids, it'd be good to pull into a Cracker Barrel because you could get good service. You knew what you were getting in the food and everything. And I think that's the only advertising. Other now, I think they have a presence on the web, but they always used billboards. That was their total advertising budget. So, and then what do you have planned? You have any promotions planned for the Thanksgiving holidays and then going into Christmas? Do you have any type of promotions for your customers?
We usually try to run your Thanksgiving staples just cheap, at cost, pretty much. It's stuff you know people want. You hope it gets them in. They buy extra stuff. Mm-hmm. Like you talked before, it's hard to compete with your Kroger's, Walmart's. They can run stuff dirt cheap, unlike that we can't.
No.
I mean, it's hard. Well, I mean, we're one store. We're not hundreds.
Well, you know, you read about, I'm sure, Kroger buying Albertsons.
Yes. Yeah.
That they'll have 715,000 employees in this country. And I, you know, I guess it's no difference in Walmart and Sam's, you know, because, or Costco, but that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
I mean, one company having that kind of control, and, you know, I think they've, big companies over the years, they're like farmers, it could be eggs or chickens. They might be happy to go to Kroger, but once they lose their small customers, then Kroger tells them what they want to pay.
Yeah.
And not just Kroger. I think it's all the big ones.
Yeah. That's where we have to sit back and just kind of base everything on our customer service, our meat case, just a clean store. Just that's where we have to hammer down and just be on top of things to compete. But it's definitely hard, but we hold our own. I mean, you kind of sit there and see those stores, and we do watch their ads. I mean, you have to kind of compete. I mean, you can't be so far offline, but we do our best.
Yeah.
That's all we can do. We got to hope that people respect that. We got to hope that people stay loyal and that they realize we're trying our best.
Yeah. But now, do you, we don't do much in the deli stuff, but do you make your own lunch meat, or do you buy Eckrich or Collins? Or
we buy through an Eckrich distributor.
Okay.
But we do actually, we make our own ham salad. I feel like it's world famous.
Oh,
we
wow.
sell tons of it. We have a smoker in the back that Jeff Paul bought years ago. So we've been making our own homemade summer sausage. It's a very big seller. We do our own homemade smoked Polish sausage. It's very good. And we probably could branch out and do more things, but you kind of got to draw the line somewhere.
And tell us about your pulled pork.
Our pulled pork, started making it years ago, and it's kind of grown pretty big. We have people that buy 30, 40 pounds at a time for graduation parties, weddings, just rehearsals, you name it. It's very good.
And do you make your own coleslaw to go with that?
In the deli, we do not, but Becky Amberger, our produce manager, she makes like her own coleslaw mix that you just have to add your own dressing to, which is very good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've years ago, it's like Greensburg is kind of Indianapolis, Batesville's kind of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember when I was still working, I went to A&W. And I said, I want to try your barbecue sandwich and put coleslaw on it. And she looked at me like I had two heads. And she said to the other people, this guy wants coleslaw on his barbecue. I didn't think there was any other way to eat barbecue. And when we were in Florida, Publix was the big independent mm-hmm. store, so we'd go there all the time. And I asked the store manager one time, I said, can you get Geta? He said, probably if I knew what the hell it was.
Yeah, that seems like just a staple around here. We have people that come in from all over, and they'll buy a bunch and just take it back home with them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, I didn't notice that. I'll have to try it because I've been buying, you know, Nancy used to make Geta, and I told her, I said, hey, you're a great cook, but you're not Glears.
Yeah.
So I'll have to try your Geta, too, because I love Geta. And it seems like the best way to make it is in an air fryer.
I've never had it that way.
Oh, we used to do the skillet thing, the air fryer. It kind of takes most of the grease out of it, mm-hmm. and it's just right.
Yeah.
So, and Nancy's not a big air fryer user, but she does that, and she makes some bacon in the air fryer, so it's good. But the pulled, is there any other specialty things that you have? The ham salad, pulled pork, the other, anything else that's interesting?
We do a lot of marinated stuff. We okay. have like a fajita marinated chicken that we have a recipe for, and then we do some other like glazed marinades, like rosemary, garlic, just random things for chicken, pork chops, pork steaks. We have our own homemade chicken patties.
Oh, I hate those. They're great.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
We sell, I can't even begin to imagine how many of those we sell.
I mean,
it's a lot.
You know, I don't know that I could ever order in a restaurant again a chicken patty, you know, because they're that good.
Ours is real chicken. I haven't really looked at the ingredients on, like, a package of frozen chicken patties, see what's really in it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I've never done the frozen chicken patties. But, you know, once in a while, we do fish, chicken, beef. And once in a while, I'll try chicken in a restaurant, chicken patty. But it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good. And yours are just the right size, too.
Yeah.
So.
We also have, like, a homemade meatloaf that we make.
Really?
It's like we use our ground chuck, and then we have a dry mixture we put in with it. We sell a lot of those. I personally like pattying them up for cheeseburgers, or okay. sometimes I'll roll them up for meatballs for spaghetti.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of universal in our house. But
well, you know, I'll have to try that because I love meatloaf. But most restaurants, if you order meatloaf, you're a big disappointment.
Yeah.
And it's... either they put too much ketchup on it, or if you order one of his gravy, the gravy's kind of a universal type gravy.
Yeah.
And it's just not very good.
Yeah.
So, and the restaurants you supply are Brauhaus.
The Brauhaus doesn't really buy too much from us. They'll come in and get stuff
okay.
But Pearl Street Pub gets a lot of stuff from us. Little Charlie's gets tenderloins, chicken. Midtown Diner, Fireside, they get tenderloins.
Oh, good. Well, you know, I often wondered because the pub and Little Charlie's, I can't really tell the difference in the pork tenderloins.
Yeah,
they look like they're the same size. They taste kind of the same.
Yeah. Each restaurant that gets them from us has their own special way they want them.
Yeah.
So, but it's kind of hard keeping track sometimes, but
yeah.
That's why there's all of us back there to remember.
Yeah, yeah. It's and I imagine with inflation going the way it is, have you noticed from different restaurants that are they buying less because of shortage of help and hours? And
not necessarily.
Really?
I think people are still going out to eat. I know people love supporting local.
Oh, I know.
And that's I love that. I mean, being a small store, I prefer to support local,
yep.
local restaurants. It's I love seeing it.
Yeah, and, yeah. I'm, well, you know, it's funny. And this, we usually go to 5:30 Mass on Saturday night. And this has been a couple months ago. We stopped at the Mexican place and got something to eat. And we were driving by the Kentucky Fried Chicken and the taco place, Taco Bell. And it must have been 7:30. All the lights were out. A woman's walking out Taco Bell. And I just rolled the window down. I said, "Are you closed already?" She says, "Yeah, you want a job?"
Yeah.
So this past weekend, I won't name the restaurant because it's, I won't name the restaurant. We went to LaRosa's, and I've known Buddy LaRosa for 70 years. We walked in there, and it said, due to help shortage, we have no dining service. But you could order at the counter, and they'll bring you your food. So they were busy. They had five or six people working. They were training a new guy, and he was just hit a learning curve. But I don't think we've hit a La Rosa pizza in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I ordered, usually it's either classic or ice and pizza. I ordered a pizza. Nancy got a combo ravioli, small ravioli, and a salad. So we walked over, sat at a table. I'm looking straight ahead at the counter, and right before the counter, there's a garbage can that's overflowing with food on the floor, cardboard boxes and everything. They brought the food to the table and carry out. Nancy had a carry out ravioli and a carry out salad, brought a couple things. I had to ask them for plastic forks. They brought my pizza in a pizza box. So, and I ordered, we ordered a Corona and a house wine, which a house wine, probably a $9 bottle of Chardonnay and a glass of that. They might have $2 in it or something. But anyway, my Corona beer and her house wine was $17.
Wow.
I really feel sorry for him because I guess she was the manager. She apologized. She said, "But we just can't get any help. We're trying to take care of the carry out, the drive through." And she said, and I said, "But the garbage." She said, "I know, but before we left, they had cleaned it up." But it to have that sitting there, I can imagine somebody from the Board of Health walking in there and seeing that. And the table across from us, there was food on the floor and everything. And I really feel for the restaurants. We're losing Izzy's,
mm-hmm.
December 31st. And I don't know what's behind that. My guess is that the country club, their five-year lease was up. My guess is country club wanted more money, and they said there's no way. And I might be all wrong, but the Sherman does a big business on the weekend, but they've had that place for sale for a year now, which they got so much money stuck in it, I don't know what's going to happen there. So, but it's a different world today, and with this runaway inflation. You know, They said, now, inflation's up 8.2% this year. But what they forget to tell you, the same time last year, it was up 7.3%. So in 2 years, you got 15.5%, but some of the staples, like gasoline, in 2 years is up a lot more than 15.5%. And do you see any thing in the near future that's going to change this?
Unfortunately, I don't.
I don't either. I mean, I'm afraid we're heading for a big-time recession because people are not going to be able to afford a 5.5% or 6% loan on a house. I mean, in the immediate future, it's still going to be kind of strong, the real estate, because they got low inventory on homes. I don't know how many new homes will be built. And then by the same token, they keep raising the rents. And the middle class, lower middle class, and the poor are really being hurt by this thing. And they have no plan. Yeah. The Fed raising interest rates, it's just going to cause more and more problems. And I still don't understand why kids in high school aren't flocking to McDonald's or Burger King or any of those fast food joints to have a job. It's just crazy.
I think people just sit there and see a high wage, and that's all they strive for. They don't want to start from the bottom and work to the top. Yeah. That's kind of what I see.
Well, when Nancy and I got married, it just seemed like all my friends were the same way. Once the wife was 6 or 7 months pregnant, the work career was done, until the kids were raised. Today, I don't know of anyone in their 30s, 40s, 50s that are married where both people aren't working. So that you've got a two-income family, and I don't think they're pushing the kids to get a job.
I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm sure the Batesville school system is good, but you read about all these crazy schools and what they're promoting and trying to teach students, and the school board doesn't pay any attention to the parents. I mean, it's awful. We're very lucky to be in this Batesville-Oldenburg area.
I think schools just need to get back to the basics, teach kids what they need to know for life.
Right. And also, even if you know you're going to college, they should have to take, in high school, a business course. And it's not just the young kids. I was in Kroger one time, and I had to pick up a few things for Nancy, and I was, maybe four items or something. Anyway, to make a long story short, I'm in the checkout line, and I didn't use a credit card because it was maybe $18 or something like that. Well, anyway, she rang it up, and I had a $20 bill, and it was so much plus some change. So I put the change with it, and I gave it to her. This woman might have been late 40s or early 50s. She says, "I don't know what to do with this." I said, "You owe me $2." She said, "I'll take your word for it."
Wow.
Now, that's scary because they shouldn't teach you in high school, even though you rely on the register. how to make change, how to count it out to people, how to be able to write a check, just some basics. And in your college prep courses, unless it's changed since I was in school, they didn't show you any of that.
No, I can't remember really learning any of that stuff.
Yeah, so. I know. There has to be some changes. Not everybody's going to go to college.
No.
You can't have a society where everyone's a mailman or everyone's a Wall Street guy or a college professor. You need the variety. And right now, there's such a demand in construction. The restaurants, I mean, things just have to change. Mindset of people have to change.
Yeah, there's so many jobs available. There's so many high-paying jobs available, too, that you don't have to go to college for. You can just right out of high school get that on-the-job training. A lot of those companies will pay for you to get the training you need.
Well, you know, my daughter, you know, Donna, she's an HR director for a fairly large accounting firm. I think they have 270 CPAs plus accompanying staff. What they have to do and what they have to pay to hire people out of college that they pass their boards, their CPAs, with no work experience is just crazy. And it's all over. It's nurses. My one granddaughter is going to be a traveling nurse because of the money involved. Another granddaughter is graduating from UC with a teaching degree, and I mentioned to her, I said, you know, make sure if you stay in Cincinnati, don't get in one of the bad schools because it'll ruin you. She said, I'm going to be a traveling teacher. I said, she says, oh yeah. She says, there's such a shortage of teachers. You can be a traveling teacher and make some really good money.
I've never heard of that.
I haven't either. It's a different world. But anyway, I think if you don't have anything else, I guess it's about time to wrap it up. And since this will be airing on the 21st of November, I hope everyone has a very happy Thanksgiving. And don't overeat or overdrink because you'll pay for it the next day. And Matt, it was great having you as a guest. And I hope you have a great holiday season. And at Christmas time, because of I think everybody's going to congregate at the old people's home here, we'll have you make up a nice variety of food for us that we can serve on Christmas, because the days of the sit-down dinners with 35 to 40 people showing up, it's over for us.
That sounds good. I can definitely help you out.
Okay.
And thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It's enjoyable. And you know, I started out referring to everybody as an audience, but I think everybody's friends that are listening now, because it's a relaxed atmosphere. No editing, no prep, just talk.
Just real talk.
Yeah, once in a while I'm lost for words and I have to stammer a little, but that's part of it's old age and part of it's just me. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening and wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving again. And God bless you, and God bless the United States of America, and I'll talk to you on our next podcast. Thanks again.